inspiring to be here. That second song we sang was Nearer, Still Nearer, Close to the Height. Draw me my Savior. Wow. That is almost a paradox, because that's exactly what the Lord wants to do with us. He's been trying to draw us to himself, pull us together, and bring us to him and be able to see and enjoy him. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, starter of tonight. And thanks, Tim, for praying for that unction. I really feel a need for that, and I think the Lord is in my heart tonight. And I want him to have the control of my lips and my heart as I share with you. No matter who is the man that stands in front of you, it's the Spirit that must do the work. I have no power more than to read the scriptures, expound on them, and that's as much as I can do. I'm planning to speak on loyalty tonight, loyalty to God. God wants the loyal people, loyal to him. You know, he will not take anything else less than that. Whether you belong to him tonight or whether you do not belong to him, he still is demanding your loyalty. He's still demanding your commitment to him. Because you are here by his right. He created you. He formed you. He knew where you would be. He knew you'd be sitting in the service tonight. The familiar passage in Deuteronomy 6 that Israel memorized and knew so well, and it's good for us to remember too. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." And he goes on about these words, "I command thee." Now, Jesus picked that up in the New Testament. When a lawyer asked him what was the great commandment in the law, and Jesus told him, and he added one more thing to that, and that is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Tonight, as we think of loyalty to God, I was impressed with the scripture that Brother Tim read in Psalm 80. It's actually an appeal of the psalmist to turn again to his people. And Tim applied that to the church. And I trust tonight that we are in him. We're not pleading that the Lord would call us back to himself. There may be some corrections that you and I need to make in our experience. But the Christian life is a progressive life. And sometimes the boar does chase us. And sometimes the drought does hit us. But that is all a tempering process that God has planned into our experience. The chastening hand of God upon us is not to push us away from him, but to draw us closer to him. That's what he wants tonight. Tonight I think of loyalty. I'd like just to go to Psalm 78 and expound on that just a little bit for a few moments and try to inspire us to loyalty. And this is a story, it's a longer story. It's the beginning of the story that Tim read. It's much longer. And it really is the reason why the psalmist in Psalm 80 was pleading this prayer. I'd like to just read. Maybe I'll read the whole psalm. It's kind of lengthy, but it tells a story. And I want to go back and pick up some things from this psalm that would challenge us to be faithful and loyal to God. It's 72 verses, but it'll probably take about 7-8 minutes to read it. I'll read it slower so you do get it if you don't have a Bible. It's titled God's Guidance of His People. Give ear, my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which shall be born, who shall arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. That he might not be as their fathers, a stubborn, a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not fast, steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. They forgot His works and wonders that He had shown them. Marvelous things that He did in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and He made the waters to stand up as a heap. In the daytime also He led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, He smote the rock that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. He gave bread also. Can He give bread also? Can He provide flesh for His people?" Therefore the Lord heard this, and He was wroth. And so a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation. Though He had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and rained out down manna upon them and given them corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. He sent their meat to the full. He caused the east wind to blow in the heaven, and by His power He brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowl as the sand of the sea. And He let it fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitations. So they did eat and were well filled, for He gave them their desire. They were not estranged from their lust. But while their meat was yet in their mouth, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the choicest men of Israel. For all this, they sinned still and believed not for His wondrous works. Therefore the days did He consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. And when He slew them, they sought Him. And they returned and inquired early after God, and they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter Him with their mouth, and they lied unto Him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with them, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned He His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath. For He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned their back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. How he had wrought his signs in Egypt, his wonders in the field of Zoan, and he turned their rivers into blood and the floods that they could not drink. He sent divers sorts of fly among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. He gave also increase unto caterpillar, and their labor unto locusts. He destroyed their vines with hail, and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle also to hail, and their flocks to the hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them fierceness of his anger, wrath, and indignation, and trouble by sending evil angels among them. He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence. He smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength, and the tabernacles of Ham. But he made his people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them safely, so that they feared not. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies. He brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to his mountain which his right hand had purchased. He cast out the heathen also before them, and divided them in inheritance by line, and made their tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God, and kept not his testimonies, but turned their back and dwelt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places, and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth, and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh and the tent which he had placed among them. He delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. He gave his people over unto the sword, and his was wroth with their inheritance. The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given to marriage. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep, like a mighty man that shouteth for reason of wine. And he smote his enemies in the hinder parts. He put them to perpetual reproach. Moreover, he refused to the tabernacle of Joseph, and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like high places, like the earth which he had established forever. He chose David also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, following the ewes, great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel in inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillful of his hands. Faith is an integral part of our lives. God that made the world and everything that is in it, he knows everything that there is to be known. And he has power to do everything that he wants to do. He knows the hearts of men. And he cries out for their loyalty to him, that he might bless them. And that's what he did. When he called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees, Abraham is a man of faith, and he went out not knowing whither he went. That's a challenge for us. I know that our faith sometimes is weak, but I believe God is able to do anything that he asks us to do. He'll give us the grace to do it. We just need to believe that he can do it. The first part of this psalm, the psalmist is calling us to give ear, O my people. He wants us to listen to him. He wants us to hear him. He will utter things for us that we can understand. He has given his word in full to us. Israel did not have it. He spake in parables, in dark sayings. But today we have the written word of God right in our midst, right in our own hands, and we can read it. We understand what God did in the past. We understand the creation. We understand the destruction of the world by the flood. We understand the power of God moved in the days of Noah and brought him out. And the call of Abraham, the promise to Abraham and to Jacob, Isaac and Jacob. It's a call to us not to be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And he kept, to verse 10, they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his laws. They forgot his works. They seen everything that God had done in the land of Israel, in the land of Egypt, rather. And they believed him not. The scripture says that 10 times they tempted him in the wilderness. Verse 41 is a verse that struck me some time ago when I was reading through this psalm. And I really hadn't planned to use this psalm until this afternoon. I was meditating more and I just realized everything that was in this 78th psalm. But you know, in verse 41 is where Israel came up to the promised land. And they were there ready to go into it. They were out of Egypt. And they were through the wilderness and ready to enter into the land. They sent the spies out. And they come back 10 with a bad report and 2 with a good report of this land. They turned their back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They actually didn't believe God that he could take them into the land. After all that he did for them. All the times when the water came out of the rock and became rivers of water. They had no water and they cried for water and God, the rock that Moses smote, I believe it says it followed them in Hebrews. Through the wilderness, that rock followed them and brought out living waters for them. He fed them day in and day out. He led them like sheep. He showed them the way. But they refused to believe that he could take them into the land. They turned back in unbelief. In 2 Corinthians, verse 18 says, and all things are of God who hath reconciled to us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The thought that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it takes a loyalty. We come to the book of Hebrews. Whoever wrote the book of Hebrews had a deep understanding of the Jewish religion and all the things that their forefathers had done. And in my own mind, I think the Apostle Paul wrote it, but some think that's not the way it was, but Peter does refer to a letter that he wrote to the Hebrew people. But He starts out in the beginning of the Hebrews, book of Hebrews, and he refers to the angels. And Christ is greater than the angels. Remember all the things that came upon the children of Israel because of their unbelief, because of their failure. Hebrews 2 says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know, the people that transgressed under Moses' law died under the voice of two or three witnesses. I mean, a man died for just picking up sticks on the Lord's Day, on the Sabbath. You know, we have Christ has come into the world, has suffered and died for us. And if we turn away, if we lack faith in him, that is the whole book of Hebrews. In chapter 3, he goes on to the life of Moses. Christ is greater than Moses. We have a promise of rest in chapter 4. Therefore, let us fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. I like that word. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You know, I believe Christ is represented in the Old Testament. They probably don't understand what we understand about their whole Jewish religious system and the types it represented. But I believe they could understand enough to obey, and there's many of them that did, but there was a lot that didn't obey it. We need to be steadfast. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, in the first verse of chapter 3, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Christ was greater than the priesthood. Now, the whole system was a type of Christ, and God did away with it. Jesus fulfilled it, but Jesus was greater than the priesthood. The covenant was greater. We have a more blessed covenant today than what they had. We have a covenant that is real and is well, theirs was too. But we have the fulfillment of that in Christ. The sacrifice is greater. The promise is greater. The law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continue to make the comers thereunto perfect. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say Jesus' flesh, having a high priest over the throne of God, let us draw near in with a true heart. To read back in Psalm 78, their heart was not steadfast with them. Now he's challenging us to draw near in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful to promise. You know, God never said a thing that he couldn't perform. God could have given the land of Canaan to the children of Israel. And even after they come into it the second time, Psalm 78 says they still build up altars in high places and went astray. And I think it's either in the end of Deuteronomy or the beginning of Joshua, where God, Moses tells Joshua, this people will go whoring after other gods. He told them that was what was going to happen. And that's what they did. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So much more as you see the day approaching. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but unto them that believe to the saving of the soul. And then we go into the faith chapter of chapter 11. Where he tells us of all the people in the past that were faithful. Even under the old system, men were faithful. Samson and Rahab, Sarah, Moses, and a host of others who were willing to suffer and be loyal to Christ. Where's the verse that I want? They could have had deliverance. I don't see it now, but it says they could have had deliverance, but they chose not. They chose to suffer affliction with the people. That was Moses did that. But the people did that as well. They could have been delivered. They could have gave up. They could have went back. They could have lost faith. They could have turned away from God. They could have made his promises into lies. But they didn't. They were faithful. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sit down on the right hand of the throne of God. The last part of the chapter, he says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. You know, we talk about loyalty. But loyalty is a dedication to something. I was thinking on the way out here, you know, we hear oftentimes about, when we talk about materialism, we talk about little boys talking about John Deere tractors or International tractors, you know, and they're the best because that's what daddy has. But you know, maybe for some reason daddy bought John Deere tractors. Maybe the dealership was local. Maybe his dad did. I don't know. But you know, those boys are loyal to what their daddy did. Your daddy might have had a reason for that. But it's where you build relationships with somebody. And maybe not that John Deere's are any better, but that's where he dealt with, and it was a loyalty. People do not know loyalty today. People, they'll just shop around for the best price. They won't come to you because you did a good job the last time. And they know you'll do a good job this time. They're just trying to get it for a few cents cheaper. Maybe that's being frugal. I don't know. But I think it's a time in which we live when loyalty is very lightly esteemed. People aren't loyal to people anymore. They turn aside. They want something for nothing. God wants loyalty tonight. He wants us to be dedicated to Him. He wants us to follow Him in every way. The loyalty that we deserve, that God deserves, is an undivided devotion to Him. You know, I don't think you can change a Pittsburgh Steelers fan to the Baltimore Orioles. They are fans for life. That's just the way it is. They get all wrapped up in it. You know, but they're loyal and they're dedicated. And they will do anything they can. They will put banners all over their vehicles and their houses. You'll see banners here and banners there. The bumper stickers and whatnot. Just to tell you who they're a fan of. Where's our loyalty to Christ and to God? Are we that loyal that we really want everybody to know who He is? That's a challenge for me. It's a challenge for all of us. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and do good works. Let our conversation be honest. Let us be faithful. Let us be bold. The Lord is our helper. Christ will take us and be with us wherever He calls us to go. That's been a challenge for me. As we thought of pulling up and moving to Winchester, my wife and I struggle with that, and we're still not quite over it altogether. We don't understand it, but I just believe that for some reason, God has a purpose for calling us to Winchester. I don't know what that is. But you know, He has a reason for it. He has a reason why He waited till I was 62 years old to call me to be a deacon. You know, I could have said, nah, 20 years ago, Lord, I've been okay, but not now. We can say that now. It's not the right time. Lord, I just bought a new tractor and I got to pay for it. I just bought another farm. It's not convenient for me to do something. And you know, we can go down a whole list of things of what we think is important and something that holds us back from being a vessel that's meet for the Master's use. May the Lord help us to do that. Maybe I don't have no time over there at 7:30. Maybe there's some testimonies tonight. Rather than give an invitation, maybe we'll just have people share their hearts. How you, where you are with God, or whatever is on your heart. Just, yeah. Maybe you're off testimony now. If there's not, let's sing just one verse of Just As I Am, Without One Plea. Remember, this song was sung by another group, and a boy that was Now, he wasn't quite a Mongoloid, but he might have been. But he made an indication that he wanted to be a Christian, and they didn't hinder him from that. They accepted that, and they taught him. And that particular group, when they were taken in and baptized, they were given the privilege to sing one song of their choice. And this young man chose "Just As I Am." And he wasn't much, and I'm not sure what he would never teach a Sunday school class. I'm not even sure he could sing. But he wanted God to take him just as he was. And you know, that's the way it is tonight. God don't ask us to go a long way. He takes us just where we're at. Even if we've stepped back a little bit, he'll still take us from that point and go on. Let's sing one verse. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed. Precious promise that God will take us just as we are, right where we're at. Let us stand for closing prayer. Oh, Holy Father, Almighty God, we bow in thy presence tonight with thanksgiving on our hearts to thee that you're a God of wonders and marvels, great and compassionate and of tender mercies. And you know where we're at in our experience. You know our condition, our feelings. You know the very thoughts and intents of our hearts. And you are a discerner of those. You understand them, Lord. We just thank you tonight for the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse us from all sin. And we just pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here tonight that throughout the coming nights and week, anytime, Lord, they might open up their heart to thee, Lord. Let that blood cleanse them from their sins. Let the joy and the thrill of being born again, having the old man washed away and made new in Christ, might be their experience. So bless your people. Keep us in your care. Help our faith be strong in thee, believing that they will not call us to do anything that you won't give us the grace to do, and that we might love you with all our heart and soul and mind, and their neighbors as yourself. Just keep us now in your care, we pray in Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen.